Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, we began looking at an article written by Dr. Albert Mohler. It's titled, Moralism is Not the Gospel, but Many Christians Think It Is. And as I mentioned yesterday, the reason why this title caught my attention is not only do we find moralism being equated with the gospel in some Christian circles, but certainly we find it in Mormon circles. And we left yesterday with a statement made by Dr. Mohler where he talks about the error of thinking that the belief that the gospel can be reduced to improvements in behavior was certainly not something that we should be adhering to. Now, when it comes to personal behavior, you have to understand where we're coming from, folks, because I know a Mormon listening to this is probably going to automatically assume that what we are teaching here is antinomianism. In other words, that once we profess a faith in Christ, there's no need to try and live a godly life. There's no need to put aside some of those things that Paul certainly condemns in his epistles. And that's not true. That is not what we are saying. It's wrong to equate that with having anything to do with an individual's justification before God.
How many times have we had Latter-day Saints come to us and right away they want to talk about James 2:20, faith without works is dead. And we like to say, well, we agree with James on that issue. Certainly we believe that faith is going to be shown by the works that we do. But unfortunately, too many Latter-day Saints think that all we believe as evangelical Christians is that we go walking down a church aisle, raise our hand at a revival or wherever it is, say, yes, Lord, and then I've heard it said, you believe that you can go out and commit murder and commit adultery and you get to go to heaven. That just doesn't sound like the gospel to me, the Latter-day Saint thinks, but that's not what the gospel is. We have over and over again said, yes, we do believe in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. But, you know, the verse continues on in verse 10, and it adds this. It says, we are God's workmanship, created by Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So the idea that we're not justified by our works, we're justified by grace through faith, and yet good works are what God intends for us to have. And I think if we understand that whole idea, then we're going to be able to differentiate properly and biblically between justification and sanctification.
And I think you bring up a good point when you talk about Ephesians 2, because too many times when we are trying to get across to our Latter-day Saint friend or acquaintance, we want to emphasize the grace part of it, and we tend to ignore the last part of that verse. When I think that would be a great opportunity to include verse 10 in our conversation and then explain why Paul said that. Because there's no way you're going to get from Paul's comment that somehow your personal performance is what makes you right with God. He's making it very clear that's not going to happen. And if a Mormon may be confused on this, what you could do is merely ask him, well, when Paul talks about salvation, what kind of salvation is he talking about? Because in Mormonism, there's two types of salvation. There's a personal salvation and there's a general salvation. General salvation being resurrection, personal salvation being exaltation. Well, if Paul is saying, for by grace you are saved, a Mormon could say, well, that's talking about resurrection. Okay, but then he goes on. When he talks about having faith, that's not a necessity in Mormon doctrine in order to be resurrected. You don't need faith. That's going to happen, regardless of what you believed in this life and regardless of what you did. So what salvation is Paul talking about? Neither definition of salvation will work that a Mormon can give you. None of them work,
right?
Because each one is canceled out by what Paul says about it in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. But getting back to what I said earlier, I think Christians probably should make it more of a habit to maybe include verse 10 and explain to the Mormon at that time that we're not speaking against good works. We're just speaking against thinking good works is going to somehow make you right with God.
I agree with you on that. And when I'm talking about this issue and they haven't brought out James 2:20, I like to cite that first, because then they look at you and go, yeah, that verse exactly is what I was thinking about. Well, I agree with James 2:20. It takes away some of the power that they think they have when they introduce it. And I say, according to what James is saying, you are able to do the good works based on the salvation you have, but you can't go around and be what some might call a gracer to say, well, I'm saved by grace. I guess I don't have to do any works. He was dealing with that very kind of error.
As we pointed out yesterday in this article, Dr. Moeller does say, in our own context, one of the most seductive false gospels is moralism. And as I mentioned earlier, he explains what that is. And that is the belief that the gospel can be reduced to improvements in behavior. Many Latter-day Saints over the years, from the beginning of Mormonism till the present day, have often emphasized the need for Mormon members to improve. I mean, this goes clearly back to Brigham Young. We can cite Brigham Young where he's making a connection there. What did Brigham Young say?
He said, "The intelligence we possess is from our Father and our God. Every attribute that is in his character is in his children in embryo. It is their duty to improve and develop those attributes, and it is consequently necessary to pay strict attention to every requirement of heaven that we may better understand the mind and will of God concerning us and our duty." And that comes from Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 105.
It's necessary. It's our duty. We have to do it all if we hope to achieve what we are seeking. So obviously, this improvement is a part of the Mormon understanding of what they would call the restored gospel.
Here's another citation from 8th President George Albert Smith. He said, "Now, brethren and sisters, somebody said in this conference that the same laws apply, the same rules govern today, and it is just as necessary for us to keep the commandments of our Heavenly Father today as it was for any of the prophets of old or any of his faithful sons and daughters who have lived upon the earth, who have earned a right to a place in the celestial kingdom. We can't gain our exaltation by the good lives of our neighbors, but we can profit by their good example, and we can improve ourselves." And that comes from a conference reports, April 1948, pages 162 and 163. Another citation is from Apostle David A. Bednar in a conference talk that he gave called Clean Hands and a Pure Heart, and that's found in the Ensign magazine, November 2007, page 82. He says, "The Lord's pattern for spiritual development is line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little," and that's from 2 Nephi 28:30. "Small, steady, incremental spiritual improvements are the steps the Lord would have us take. Preparing to walk guiltless before God is one of the primary purposes of mortality and the pursuit of a lifetime. It does not result from sporadic spurts of intense spiritual activity."
Well, again, what we're seeing is a connection between a person's personal improvement and being approved by God himself. But there's another statement I want to read by Dieter F. Uchtdorf. And at the time Mr. Uchtdorf said this, he was the second counselor in the first presidency under Thomas Monson. This was in a speech that he gave titled, "Lord, Is It I?" And it's found in the November 2014 edition of Ensign Magazine, which is a conference edition. So this was a conference message. But this is what he said. "But those who want to improve and progress, those who learn of the Savior and desire to be like him, those who humble themselves as a little child and seek to bring their thoughts and actions into harmony with our Father in heaven, they will experience the miracle of the Savior's atonement." You see, what Uchtdorf is getting across here is you are not going to experience the miracle of the Savior's atonement. And I have to assume in this context, he's not talking about the resurrection, because people are going to be resurrected according to Mormon doctrine that don't do this at all, don't even try to improve or try to progress in the context of Mormonism. But what he's saying is these people who do want to improve and progress, and those who do that, they are going to experience the miracle of the Savior's atonement. And what I think he's saying there is you're going to get the forgiveness of your sins, Why? Because you will be keeping the commandments, you will be repenting of your sins, and that's what Doctrine and Covenants section 1 verse 32 says. That's what you must do. And as a result of that, you will receive celestial exaltation, which is in Mormonism for a male to be God over his own world and also to have his family with him and to be able to procreate throughout eternity.
According to the Book of Mormon in 2 Nephi 25:23, we're saved by grace after all we can do. And that, I think, very clearly shows the difference between what Mormonism is teaching and what evangelical Christianity, through what the Bible says, is teaching. Because you're saved by grace, but there's not a period there. It's after all you can do. So you have to continue to improve. You have to better yourself. You have to strive toward perfection, however you want to define perfection. But you have to be getting better, or you don't receive that gift of grace.
And I think I should go back to what Uchtdorf said, because I would not condemn any Mormon who wants to be like the Savior. I mean, and that's what Uchtdorf said. You know, he said to learn of the Savior and desire to be like him. I would never criticize a Mormon who wants to be like the Savior. I would not criticize a Christian who wants to be like the Savior. I want to be like the Savior. The problem is I'm not going to be. I'll never be there. But to tie it in with getting the miracle of the Savior's atonement, see, that's pushing that envelope way too far. That goes beyond what the New Testament message is all about, and I think fits exactly into the warning that Dr. Moeller is giving in this article, Moralism is not the gospel. He goes on to say, Dr. Moeller says, sadly, this false gospel, notice how he terms this false gospel, this moralism, is particularly attractive to those who believe themselves to be evangelicals motivated by a biblical impulse. In other words, it sounds almost noble that a person might go in that direction because that's kind of what the Bible's telling them, is to be an example, to follow Christ.